It's good to be home this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for coming out. We know this weather's rough on a lot of people with different conditions they have, but thank you for coming out and being a part of our service this morning. Thank God for Northview. Thank God for what Northview stands for now and all the years prior. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. With that in mind, I want us to go to the book of Nehemiah today. I've been doing a lot of praying concerning the direction of our church and been making some decisions in the last several weeks concerning employment based on our church. And I know God's got a plan for us. How many of you know that? God's got a plan for Northview. We're not just here. We're not just a building sitting on a hill. We are here by the providential grace of God. And there is a mighty work that He entails us to do. And I'm glad to be a part of His presence. I love God for visiting with us every Sunday. He's here this morning. Can't you just feel His presence in the place this morning? I thank you for that today. God has been giving me a great, great time of fellowship. When you seek Him, you will find Him. And as I go to His Word, I love the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a book, is several books that's based on details and directions, and just God doesn't leave anything undone. And so He carried me to the book of Nehemiah, because in the book of Nehemiah some great lessons for us to learn as we endeavor to find His will and to do His will concerning building the body of Christ, building this church in the essence that He would have us to build it in. And so I thank Him for that. Now there's a lot of reading to be done in chapter 7 through 11. So in your study this week, if you have time, read that. There's a lot of reading that needs to be done there. But for time's sake, I won't read all that to you today. But it's important that we understand what God is saying here. Great time in the life of Nehemiah. And I'll just read a couple of verses to you in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, and then give you some insight of what's going on. Now the wall had been built. That's powerful there, because you find in chapter 6, he was in the process of building the wall. And you remember all the things that were coming against him to get him to not build the wall. But now the wall has finally been built. And you know, I've studied Nehemiah in my ministry, and I've researched and I've looked and all, but it's like God carried me to another level, because He said everybody stops when Nehemiah builds the wall. That's normally all we really know about, that Nehemiah built a wall. But it was more than just building a wall, because now he had to build the people to put in the wall. So that's the next level that God began to carry me at and challenge me to begin to learn. And so that's what I did. In chapter 7 verse 1, it said, now the wall had been built, and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers. Now that's a powerful verse right there, because he set up the doors. We'll get to that in just a minute. And the Levites had been appointed. Verse 2, I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah. Those two words are just about alike, but Hanani and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was more faithful. I want to talk about this morning faithfulness required. Faithfulness required. He was more faithful and a God-fearing man. How many of you know when you're building the work of God, it is imperative to have an ear to hear what He says? Many of you are going through things in life and you've got to make decisions. And I want to tell you, the most critical thing you can do in the process of making decisions is to make sure you do His will. His will has got to be supreme above all our wills. That's easier said than done sometimes. But the key to it is listening and hearing His voice. Look at verse 3. And I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their own homes. Now that doesn't mean a lot right now, but I'm explaining to you what's going on. When I began to research and begin to get back into God's Word as far as Nehemiah is concerned, I love the Old Testament because it gives us seasons of blessings. And all of us know that when you serve in the Church of Jesus Christ our Lord, there are seasons of blessings. There's times of refreshing. There's times of revival. There's times when it just seems like that you're in the midst of the mighty, powerful presence of God. But if we'll be real among ourselves, we also know there's dry times. As you read through the Old Testament, as you read through God's Word, He highlights times of refreshing, times of miracle, times of power, but also He highlights dry times. Nehemiah was called to a group of people who had been involved in dry times. Let me tell you something about dry times. Dry times are the difficult times in our life. And you got to get this point right here. Dry times require faithfulness. Dry times require faithfulness. These are times when we must continue. These are times when we must move forward with whether we see anything or whether we not, we must remain faithful. God, as I was praying about Northview, He let me know that this church is here today because there are people who understand the art of faithfulness, that no matter how it looks, no matter how few, no matter what it seems, they're going to stand, and God will honor you always when you walk in faithfulness. Amen? God will walk and bless you when you're faithful. Dry times require faithfulness. Times when we don't know what's going on. Times when we must maintain our faithfulness. You got to get this. And I've done a lot of writing. I was writing so fast. You ever gone back and couldn't even read it yourself? That's what happened. So God had to give me some interpretation on some of this. Because He reminded me that dry times are not always a result of what we do or what we don't do. Dry times are a result of the seasons that we live in. Our lives right now are in seasons. Right now, in your life right now, you're in a season. But understand this, in the midst of your season, God honors faithfulness. And He will bring, get this, He will bring you a season of refreshing. You may be in a dry time right now. You may be in a hard time right now. But God is a God that honors His Word, and His Word says He will not return unto us void, but He will accomplish what He set out to do. Amen. God will send a time of refreshing when you're faithful. Many of you this morning could testify, I'm sure, of things you've been through in your life, and you could say, if it had not been for God bringing me through it, I would not have made it. But I'm here today as a testimony of what God can do in the dry times. Understand this also. When He brings that season of refreshing, it is a renewal of our spirit. He renews our spirit. Faithfulness, get this now. Faithfulness, if you don't get anything else, get this. Faithfulness is a sense of momentum. Faithfulness keeps you going when you don't feel like going. How many of you came this morning because you felt like it or because you were faithful? Amen. How many of you came this morning because, you know, and God's going to honor you for stepping and making that step, because if you'd have listened to your body or listened to whatever, you'd have just stayed home. But God sees that. And I think about the history of this church. You got to understand, Northview is not a building just set here. You are a symbol of God. You're a symbol of God in this city. Amen. We are a voice crying out in the wilderness, and God honors Northview because there's many of you who stood and stood and stood when it would have been easier to shut the door and lock the door and walk away. But you said, no, God, I can't do that because I know that You got something for us to do. Amen. Am I preaching to Northview this morning? Dry times. These are times when the winds of blessing will come. And the word of God for Northview today is that God's going to honor your faithfulness. And He's going to send winds of blessing. And when he sends winds of blessing, it's sort of like a lady that gives childbirth. There's turmoil and there's sorrow and there's pain. But after a while, she loves that baby, forgets all about the pain. God's going to bring us to a point that we're going to forget all about the pain and we're just going to enjoy the glory and presence of God. You say, how can you say all that? That's just a lot of talk. No, we say this based on God's principles and based on His Word. I said all that to bring you to this point. That's what Nehemiah found. See, you got to understand this. I begin to do some research here, and dry times will make you feel like God has forgotten you. You begin to research, and what did Nehemiah face? When Nehemiah was called of God to do the work he did, understand this. The walls of Jerusalem had laid ruin for 160 years. 160 years the walls lay barren on the ground, and all the inhabitants had left because they said there's no more protection. We've got to disperse. And they left the holy city desolate. The walls had been broken down and the people had gone in exile. And listen to this. There was no evidence that God had remembered them. 160 years. No evidence that God had remembered them. I don't know how far I'll get this morning, but you know, I'm just letting Him guide and direct me because I got a whole bunch of pages right here. But how many times have you and I been standing for God or trying to live for God and nothing upon nothing seems to be happening? 160 years? The walls are just laid barren, and it seemed like that God had forsaken His city. But I go back and I study in the Word, and you got to get this, because some of you right now are walking through dry places. Some of you are walking through things right now. I don't see nothing. I don't see anything. I don't see anything happening. I don't see anything going on. I want to tell you, God's a God that works in the darkness. And when it seems like there's nothing going on, He's busy about His business. Amen. Be encouraged this morning because you pray and you pray and you pray and it seems like nothing happens. Let me tell you what, God will not leave you desolate, but He will fill His temple. Amen. Go back into history. There are three providences of time, three journeys. As you study the history of Jerusalem, there are three journeys that go back to the city of Jerusalem. There were three journeys of people who were going. First of all, it was Zerubbabel. You remember studying about Zerubbabel. The city was in ruins, and Zerubbabel became an instrument to rebuild the temple. You remember that? God said, I want to have a place that I can worship and that I can bring and be with my people. And so Zerubbabel became an instrument. And I want to go through this carefully. I don't want to rush it. I get a tendency sometimes to get excited and get in a rush. But I want you to get this. Zerubbabel became an instrument of God to rebuild the temple. As you remain faithful, as you remain loyal to God, no matter what it seems like, He will use you in ways you never dreamed He could use you. Put that point down in your heart. The second journey was going back to Ezra. Ezra, the book right before Nehemiah. Ezra. Now, as you study about Ezra, Ezra does not record, he did not build any edifices. He did not build any buildings. Unlike Zerubbabel. But Ezra did this. God used him to reestablish the law of Moses in the heart of the people. In other words, he returned them to the Word of God. When you're going through a dry time in your life, one of the first things that's going to attack you is walk away from the Word. It's not working. It don't seem, why are you spending time reading it? I want to tell you, God will always honor His Word. His Word is Himself. Amen? His Word is Himself. And God will honor His Word. And Ezra was key in bringing the people back to a knowledge and grace of God, the law of Moses. He taught them to respect the law one more time. Let me tell you something. In the battles that we face in this world today, there are people that's trying to take you away from the Word. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what kind of discouragement you may face right now. But the Word works, and it will work every time. Amen. And I pray in my dying breath that I'm preaching the Word. Instant in season and out of season. Because that's what you need today. This church was founded on the Word. And as long as I'm here, we will continue to preach His Word. Because it is the Word of God that the people need in America today. They don't need compromise. They don't need a new momentum of organization. We need the Word of God because there's power in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me this morning? When you call on His name, He's still powerful today. Amen. And Ezra brought that back to the people. But then God raises up a third time, a man by the name of Nehemiah. That brings us to the story we're at today. Nehemiah, I don't have to go through all the story. We're very familiar with his story of being in the king's palace. But I want to break it down just a little bit this morning, and time permitting, about another hour or so, I want to try to get this in. I just lost something right there. No, this stuff's too good. You ever eat a meal that was just so good, just to slow down and just chew it a while? I want y'all just to chew a while. So now we're at Nehemiah. There's a city out there that's just ruined for 160 years. People, as I studied about this, you know what I learned? It became a dumping ground where you dump your trash. What it used to stand for, it didn't stand for that no more. I love that. I love our church. I love everything about it. I love the steeple on the roof, because that lets everybody know that rides by. We're still here. Amen. We're still here. We hold our banner high that we serve the Almighty God. Amen. Nehemiah, I want to break it down this way. I want to talk about Nehemiah's heart. Nehemiah's heart, you remember he was in chapter 6, I told you he had been called to go rebuild the temple. And so he was building the walls. This is what God gave me revelation on. Because all I'd ever focused on was walls. But in chapter 7, it said in verse 1, the walls have been built now. You got to see Nehemiah's heart, because you got to understand that it was not just about rebuilding walls that Nehemiah was called to do. You see, Nehemiah, it was the motive behind rebuilding the walls. As we talk about building this church, as we talk about being in the will of God, and I want to stress to you again, God has a will for Northview. Amen. And our job is to find that will and to be obedient to that will and do that will, and we will prosper. How many of you know that? Nehemiah was called to rebuild the wall, but let's look at the motive that he had. Nehemiah had a vision. And you got to get this right here. Nehemiah had a vision, and it was not just building the walls, but it was why he built the walls. Why is Northview here? Why do we need to build Northview? Why do we need to work hard and fill this place up for the glory of God? Why? What is our motive behind this? You got to understand this. Nehemiah had a vision. And the vision was to rebuild the walls, but not only rebuild the walls, but fortify the walls against the enemy. Here's the point. The walls were a symbol against the enemy. You gotta love, I want you to fall in love with this church all over again. And when you drive up on the ground, how many of you know when you drive up on these grounds, they're different than any other grounds you drive up on? It's not like your house. It's not like Food Line. It's not like anywhere else. And I beg to differ. Churches today are not supposed to be like everybody else. We ought to be different, amen? And when you drive on this ground, it's not supposed to be like Walmart. It's different. Glory to God. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Amen. Take your shoes off. This place is different. It's been set aside for the work of the ministry. And listen, Nehemiah said, I want to build some walls, but I don't want to just put brick and mortar. It's not about brick and mortar. It's about a symbol. 160 years, the enemy laughed and snarled and said, we beat them down. They're nothing. They can't even do anything. But all of a sudden, can you imagine when the walls started coming up? And in chapter 6, you see where they tried, come on down off that ladder. Nehemiah, let's talk about this. I can't come down off this ladder. I got to do something for God. And I want to tell you this, every time you drive up on this property, and I know it a lot of times it's through sickness and a lot of times it's through hardship and a lot of times you've been crying all week but you just feel like you need to be here, I want to tell you God's going to honor that because this place is a symbol. Amen. And I don't ever want to be like everybody else. Is that okay? Amen. God has set us aside. Listen, you got to get this part and I'm going to close. I'm going to try to. Those of you that know me know that don't mean nothing. Amen. But I'm going to try to. If you ever really want to get close to God, get in your car and drive up here when ain't nobody here. And there's a powerful presence of God on this property. A lot of sweat and blood and tears have gone into building this place. And I see churches today, I guess I'm almost stuck by it. It's like a recreation hall. I'm sorry. If that's what it takes to be successful, I will never be successful. Because I've learned that for me to be successful, He's got to be number one. He can't be a part of the bunch. He's got to be the bunch. Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And you know, God's taught me a lot since I've been here at Northview, and I'll never, never, never forget it. Or I can always thank Him forever. But here's what He showed me, and I'm going to leave with this. The victory in the battle. The victory in the battle. The victory in Nehemiah after all that he went through to build that wall. Man, he went through something. And we're going to talk about what it took to fill that wall. That's where I'm at now. That's the part I had never been to before. But God carried me there. And we're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks how he filled that wall. And out of that, God's going to teach us how to fill this place. But listen to this. The victory in the battle is just showing up. Amen. Some of you, when I ask you how you do it, or you say, I'm here, and I know you kind of say that in a joking way, but I say, thank God you're here, because no matter how you felt, you're here, and by showing up, you show out to the devil, yeah, you tried to keep me in. Let me tell you something. There's always going to be that remnant of people that want to be begged and propped and pleaded and all that. You know, everything's got to be perfect for them to come to church. How many of y'all, everything was perfect this morning for you to come to church? If you're ever going to have arguments, you're going to have it on the way to church. If the baby ever goes crazy, they're going to get crazy on the way to church. If you've ever lost a pair of shoes, you're going to lose them on Sunday morning to kind of get to church. Am I talking right this morning? But you show up. I feel His presence all up in there this morning. The victory of the battle is showing up. You might have been through hell this week. You might have been given every kind of weapon come against you, but you showed up. Amen. The devil said, you're going to not pray like he told Daniel. You will not pray. Daniel opened up the windows and prayed just like he always did. He said, because if I don't have God, I don't have anything. And I'm telling you something. I thank God for my journey that I've had in the last several months. I've learned more about me and my God in the last several months And now I know why I've been through what I've been through, because I'm going to tell you something. The victory in the battle is getting up and getting ready and going out that door just like you have a job. It, the battle is saying, God, I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded. The devil say, you're too busy to pray today. You're too busy to have Bible study today. You're too busy. You're too busy. That's all right. Get in your car. Turn off everything and just ride down the road wherever you got to go and just pray. Because my God will go with you wherever you go. Amen. So I'm going to close with this. The victory of the battle is the motive why you do what you do. And when you settle that in your heart, God, I'm doing this for you. My flesh don't want to. You remember when Jesus got in the garden that day? And one of our guys said, don't we have some great men in our church? One of the guys said, I don't know if y'all know it or not, but you get a lot of sermons before you ever get the sermon. Amen? These men say some beautiful stuff up here. And one of them said the other day, you know, talking about Jesus, he really didn't want to go, but he went because of you and me. That just shows the human part of him. But he said, Father, not my will, but your will. You know what he done? He showed up. Amen. He showed up. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. The reason Northview is the great church that it is. And I know that might sound a little arrogant, but that's okay. It's okay to be arrogant in the right kind of sense. Because when you're inviting somebody to come to church, tell them you want to come to a great church. Well, what's so great about it? The glory of God is in the place. And you can feel His presence when you come in the door. And if you need anything, He's able. I admire some of our senior saints. They show up when it don't look like they would have showed up, but they show up. I admire a lot of y'all because you do what you do out of faithfulness. And I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to let that go undone. He's going to bless you and reward you for being faithful. Amen. Take the one's hand beside him, if you will. And I want to pray for each and every one. The hand that you got, I want you to pray for that hand right now, that person. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the encouraging life of Nehemiah. Sometimes our life feels like it's just a big ruin. Sometimes our walls are broken down and we don't feel like we really meet up to anything. But God, you've got a purpose for it all. And Father, the symbol of rebuilding those walls was faithfulness. And Father, I pray that you will bless these people this morning with a double portion of your anointing for being here today. I know there's times, God, they can't be in this place every single Sunday. I know that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about serving you, Lord, wherever we're at, doing your work, wherever we're at. And God, I thank you for these people today. I thank you, Lord, that even though there were times that they wanted to give up, they didn't give up. And they kept right on pressing through. And God, let them know today that they're going to be blessed for the effort that they put forth. God, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. I want every one of you to know this morning, God spoke to my heart this week, said the prayers that you have been praying, He's going to honor those prayers. You've been praying for this church. You've been praying to see God do some mighty things. You've been praying. And God says He's going to honor His word. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Amen.